Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio on the D-Zone. Evan Papuda and Brandon Hunter here. Welcome aboard for another football season. We're going to have a great show for you today. I'm going to be joined by Brandon Hunter. Are you there, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm here.
We're going to be joined by Walled Lake Western coach Mike Zadepski in about 5 minutes. But first, we're going to tell you about our mission and what we're trying to do here at the D-Zone. We're trying to get players exposure and cover as many games as we can. And as far as this particular blog, talk radio, podcast, we're trying to get fans and players and parents involved and talk about things they want to talk about. So if at any time you want to get in touch with us and get on air and you have an opinion, our phone number is 516-666-9985. So, Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
So let's go over some notable results from week one, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after Coach Zadepski calls in. We had Macomb, Dakota beating Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Brandon was at that game. He's going to talk about that in a little bit. Walled Lake Western over Farmington. Northville over Dearborn. Fortson over Canton. River Rouge over Chelsea. And King over Southfield, A&T. And Brandon, talk about the atmosphere at Wayne State yesterday, and then Cass Tech is going to play Oak Park at 1 o'clock today.
It was a little hectic, I would say, because of the weather delay. River Rouge was up, 18, I believe, on Chelsea. The weather delay happened, 34. And then that extended to, 3 hours. And, so they had to call the game off, obviously. Yeah, 3-hour delay. And then they finally had King and Southfield play when the weather cleared up. And, you know, that game started off a little bit slow. You know, but it was a great event. It was a great event.
So you said that rain delay was 3 hours?
3 hours. Started at 2:34, and King and Southfield kicked off at 5:40. So, yeah, I don't really remember what I did for 3 hours, but it was 3 hours.
What point of the game was that at? Was it still?
It was like 58 seconds to go in the third quarter. So the game was pretty much over. Rouge was up 30, and I believe they had the ball. No. Chelsea just scored, so they was up about 18. So it was pretty much over. And both teams agreed to call the game.
How did King look yesterday coming off their state championship?
You know what? That was an impressive victory by King, and especially how they did it, 39-0. I expected a little bit of a down year for King, you know, compared to their standards. But, you know, they say it's the program. And they came out swinging on Southfield, and they didn't let up. You can tell, you know, with that beatdown they had in the playoff 40-12 2 years ago. It was kind of a revenge game, you know, and they came out that way. And they never took their foot off the pedal with Southfield, and you see the result, 39-0. So that was an impressive win. Kind of disappointed in Southfield, but very impressed by King.
So that turned out to be one of those rivalries that may not be as obvious as Cass Tech and King, but maybe
right.
One of the more upgraded rivalries.
Oh, yeah, it's become a rivalry for sure. It was Southfield beating King 3 times in the past, 4 years, you know. So the players took it personal, and they weren't even playing then, but they take it personal, both sides.
And what was it like for them to be playing for Coach Harville after he passed away just about a month ago, tragically? What was the atmosphere like on the sidelines, and what was the talk among the players and coaches?
When they came out with those jerseys, it really, like, warmed your heart up because, you know, I've never seen anything like that. So it was real surprising. I mean, the players didn't even know that they were wearing those jerseys until they got in the locker room. So, you know, it was a great way to commemorate, you know, that Harville's legacy. And they looked great in them, and they played well. And so the season's for him, and you can tell they come out there playing for him and doing it in different ways.
Yeah, we're still waiting on Coach Zadepski, but did you see the results from that Muskegon Pioneer game yesterday?
I did. I not really surprised at all. I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. Surprised finally scored, but yeah, I'm not surprised at all that Muskegon put that many points up on them. The Templeton kid is really, really good. I first seen him last year.
Yeah, Templeton is a good playmaker from everything that I've seen. And
right.
Pioneer has Antoine Simmons, but that's really about it, isn't it?
Nah, they got Derek Hubbard, the other linebacker kid, but, I mean, you know, how much can they do? Good players, but how much can they do? Especially getting that Muskegon team. Top 10 in the state.
Well,
top 10, top 5 in the state.
While we're waiting on Coach Sadepski, let's preview the Castech Oak Park game. What's maybe one thing to watch if you're a fan going out to the game today?
I would say the young player starting for Oak Park. You know, that's kind of their thing right now. Very young. They're going to be interesting to see if they can beat Cass today. I'm going to say no, but in a year or two, Oak Park's going to be really good. But they got some really, really good freshmen starting today. And I would look out for Enzo Jennings and Justin Rogers. Going to be some interesting players in the coming year. So I'm going to see how Oak Park, if they can hold their own against Cass.
And one more freshman of note for Oak Park is offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Shelby Givens. That's one other
okay.
player to watch for Oak Park. Robert Daniel is always solid for Oak Park. Dylan Stackhouse.
Right.
And obviously, Jeraymond Hall and Dwan Mathis.
And you know what? And we say how much Cass is loaded, but Oak Park is just as loaded. You know, they just got younger players. Cass got a senior laden right now. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be an interesting game. I know 2 years ago, Oak Park had their number. They couldn't hold on in the fourth quarter, but I know it's like a revenge game for them. They're looking to get that revenge. So it's going to be an interesting game. Can't wait.
While we're talking about young players, Cass Tech's got several freshmen and sophomores as well. Who's maybe one name to watch that people have not heard about yet?
Jaron Mayhem, I actually just heard about him not too long ago, but, I mean, looks the part. I already got an SEC offer, running back, linebacker. I mean, a very impressive kid, you know. So, first year on varsity, you know, expected to make a big contribution. Jaron Mayhem, a lot of people not really heard of him, but his name will be coming out even more now. Xavier Goldsmith. Been around for a long time, but his first action on varsity this season. So he's a lot of offers for that kid. Looking to see if he can match that offer up with the play on the field. So those two kids I'm looking out for in the 19 class.
Okay, and you were out at the game last night. Which performance was more, if I had to make a decision, which was more impressive to you, the River Rouge over Chelsea or King over Southfield?
Obviously, King over Southfield. I mean, I actually expected Southfield to win, but, you know, it's the same story with Southfield. Every year, talented team, you know, just underachieve. And that's what I was worried about, were they underachieving? And they did. More talent than King, I would say. More talent right now than King. And, you know, and no one showed up for Southfield last night. And they got punched in the mouth. And once they got down 27-0, and then 33-0, you can tell they didn't want to be there anymore, you know. So, and then again, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. It's the first game of the season, but 39-0, man, that's kind of not a fluke, you know. So we'll see how they go along. We'll see how they perform as the season goes along. But obviously, they need to tweak a lot on offense and defense, because you know, you can't be losing 39-0 to top teams. And they're 5-8, you know.
I guess that might go to show you why rankings don't mean as much as people always like to think they do.
Yes, well, and it depends on who's ranking them, you know. It depends on who's ranking the team. But, yeah, just not a good performance
right.
by Southfield overall. Just not.
And if you're just joining us, this is Evan Papuda and Brandon Hunter here. Our phone number is 516-666-9985. That's 516-666-9985. If you want to call in. Phone lines are wide open. We're waiting on Mike Sadepski, Wald Lake Western, head coach, coming off of a big victory over Farmington, getting ready for a primetime game week 2, Thursday night against Canton. But in the meantime, if there's no call to Brandon, tell us about Orchard Lake St. Mary's in Dakota. It was a game a lot of people were expecting Orchard Lake St. Mary's to methodically win with their run game, but Dakota pulled it off.
You know what? The same thing with Dakota. I mean, with the Ultra Lake. I'm not going to get down on them because it's only week one. And they had their chance to win at the end. Rashawn Allen fumbled the ball like the 13-yard line. And they were down, what, 7? But they probably would have scored had he held on to the ball. But a very impressive win by Dakota. And I'm not going to get too down on Olake for that loss. You know, I'm not too concerned about them. But, yeah, very impressive win by Dakota. Couldn't really run the ball, obviously. You probably won't see much success against Josh Ross, you know, going to Michigan. Dwayne Chapman's going to Western Michigan. You're not going to see much success against those two linebackers. But they had a lot of success in the air. Jalen Hall, his coming out party, had 3 touchdowns in the air. Brett Drowski, the quarterback, 4 passing touchdowns. Evan Civic had a big, like, 85-yard punt return. So the big play was in effect for Dakota. They took advantage of it, and they very impressive win. By beating Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Very impressive.
All right, Coach Zadefsky's online, and we're going to put him on here. Coach Zadefsky, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us on D-Zone Radio. How was your team's overall perspective on the Battle of the Big House? What were you guys taken away from it after it was all said and done?
Well, after it was all said and done, we really enjoyed the moment of being there. It's an incredible venue to play in. Never been anything quite like that. It's got to be a treat just to coach in there, those type of facilities all the time. But we really enjoyed it. That was the best part about it. You know, we had a chance to be up at halftime and really enjoy the environment and the surroundings that we were in.
How do your players like it? What have they told you? What do they think of the atmosphere?
They would do that 14 weeks a year if they could. They had a great time. Being in the Michigan locker room was great. The tradition, the history that they had a chance to be a part of. Most of those kids are never going to play in a locker room like that again or a facility like that again. There's a few kids that we have on our team that will. But, you know, the other 95% will never have that opportunity. So I think for our program and for our school and the kids, from the band to the cheerleaders to the Poms to the parents to the administrators, it was great for everybody.
And one player that will be playing on that same field next year for Michigan State is Cody White. He's a receiver, but he was playing quarterback. What made you make the switch to him after Johnny Tracy was hurt or injured? Cody White.
Yeah, Johnny wasn't able to go this week. So we had that determination about midweek. So Cody's played quarterback last year for us in a backup role. And going into the winter, he was, you know, our projected starter. So he had been working on that already a little bit on his own. So when the time came, it really wasn't, I don't think, too much of a switch for him. I think he had a good background. He puts the time in. He has a great understanding of offense, and he has a very good understanding of defense. And so it allowed him to understand, you know, what they were doing defensively and what his keys were and to anticipate the reads and make correct decisions.
And Cody White completed 10 of 13 passes for 171 yards and 4 touchdowns, including the first one on their first snap of the game. What were you impressed with his game, particularly as a quarterback, throwing, running, and making the right reads?
His composure and his cool collectiveness. He's pretty calm. He's very analytical, and he's very confident in what he can do.
And talk about your defense a little bit. You guys held them, Farmington, a playoff team last year, to no points in the first half and only 14 overall.
I thought we played much better than I anticipated that I would. I think that's the positiveness of having a very, very difficult and competitive summer of 7-on-7s and going through a very difficult and challenging set of scrimmages to prepare the kids for whoever you're going to play. So I think that has to do with it. Go ahead.
One other player I want to ask about is a big guy for you, plays on the line.
Yeah, Big Rob played left tackle the whole game. We limited his snaps on the defensive side of the ball, and we were hoping we'd be able to, that we, you know, he could focus on offense and perform strongly over there, which he did, which allows those kids to get to, you know, get a little more air in between series and be a little fresher and play a little more physical during the game.
And you guys have a big game week two as well, going out to play Canton. What's your preparation going to be like for them?
It's different because they're a two tight end, three back. They, you know, really want to run the ball down your throat. They're very physical. They were up on Fortson big, and you watch that, you know, when you watch that game, they were, you know, the first play of the game was trap for 80 yards to Sanders, and it seems like the whole deal revolves around him. Fortson got on the board, you know, they were able to get vertical and get in space for their kids. So we're hoping that we can get our skilled kids in space. Our kids are pretty good right there. Our kids are pretty fast. And I think no matter who we play, we're a bear to match up with because of the speed at the skill positions.
All right, Coach, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you out there at the game next week.
Okay, see you guys Thursday.
Thank you. And Brandon, you were out at the...
I'm still here.
Yeah, you're here. You were out at the Dakota game Thursday night as well. Any other lasting thoughts on that game before we move on?
No, not really. I think bounce back. First game of the season. They're going to make their adjustments. Like I said, they had their opportunity to win that game. So they just make some quick adjustments. That's what good coaching does.
One question I do have, and we didn't talk about this earlier, is Josh Ross. You brought him up. How good was he?
Oh, like I said, Dakota couldn't run on those guys, you know. He was always on the ball, making a big hit. Knocked Dakota stars running back out the game. So, yeah, you're not going to have much success on the ground running, you know, up against Kyron Cunningham and Josh Ross and Dwayne Chapman. Probably number three linebackers in the state right now, in those three, you know. So, yeah, he did really good.
And, again, if you guys have a comment on a game or a player or a play, call us up at 516-666-9985. But moving on along to Friday, I was out at the Prep Kickoff Classic watching Fortson and Canton, and it was really a dominating performance in the second half by Fortson that took them back. Coach Zepsky stated that they were down 28-7. They were down, and then Fullerton came out of the locker room firing. And it was really the Hamza Elriot show. Quarterback, senior quarterback for Fullerton. He was doing whatever he wanted to do. And that is now multiple games I've seen him do it. Throwing, running, leadership. He does it all. He's not that big, but he was spreading it around his receivers, and Fullerton looked really good in that second half. But Fullerton's going to be solid all year, and I think, like Orchard Lake, Canton will bounce back. But that was a big performance in that second half by El Zayed and Fullerton, and it looked like the Fullerton coaches really had a good game plan, much like the Dakota coaches sound like they had their game plan. Where were you out at Friday, Brandon?
I went to Hunford to see them play UOD Jesuit. A little bit of a really crazy game. Scott Nelson, you know, one of the top players in the state for UOD, he got hurt on the opening kickoff. Lower knee injury, so he didn't come into the second quarter. And that's because the other starting quarterback, Mike Seam, got knocked out of the game with a leg injury. So it was kind of shaky for UOD Jesuit early. Kind of allowed Marker to stay in the game. They had like a 2-0 lead. But they pulled away once Nelson got back in the game. They kind of pulled away. Won that game. But, yeah, I want to see more from UOD. Obviously, I couldn't because their players were injured. But I'm really impressed with Elijah Collins, their junior receiver and returner. I know he plays basketball, but he's really good in football. You got to see him play. He makes some big plays in the return game and receiving. So They're going to be solid. They're going to be solid in the Central Division.
What position was Nelson playing? Was he playing quarterback and safety?
He played quarterback. That's his thing, and like receiver. But I guess when Mike Seals plays quarterback, then that's when he rotates around. But he had to play quarterback because Mike got hurt. You know, so he does it all. He's jack of all trades. He does it all for the Cubs. He does it all. He didn't really do much on that game, obviously, because I think it was an ankle injury. So you can see he was kind of a little timid to run and, you know, didn't want to take much contact. So he didn't really see anything at all from Scott on Friday. So hopefully he gets that taken care of and we can see more from him this season.
And you know which game you're going to be at this week? Well, 2 days, Thursday and Friday.
Not really sure. Yeah, I haven't really looked at the schedule, but I'll know by Monday to see where I'm going. Obviously, I'm gonna hit a PSL game, hit a 4 o'clock game early. I know Central plays Keene.
Some of the big games this week. This one's on Saturday. Orchard Lake St. Mary's goes to Detroit Loyola. That should be a really good game.
Right.
Old Lake Western at Canton, and Montcalm Dakota doesn't have much turnaround. They play Utica Eisenhower at home. Clarkston goes to Southfield A&T, Brighton at Northville, Rockford at Lowell, and then Detroit Catholic Central plays at Toledo Whitmer, a Midwest powerhouse. Which of those games sticks out to you?
The Loyola-Old Lake game, I mean, I'm expecting Old Lake to win that game, but, you know, that's always Loyola always competes. I know they played, 2 years ago they competed, so that should be a good game. Interesting to see if Southfield can bounce back against Clarkson. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to see what they're made of, you know. If they're really a top-five team in the state, that's going to be interesting to see. CC obviously going down to Ohio, always got success with them down in the Ohio team. So very interested to see that game. We'll see the result of that game.
And we'll give out the phone number one more time. If you've got an opinion on why your team is not talked about enough and why they're legitimate contenders to win a state championship or just be legitimate contenders to make a deep playoff run, or they just deserve some respect, feel free to call us up at 516-666-9985. That's 516-666-9985. But right now we want to talk about some of the teams in the state that may be underrated. I know one of the teams that I think doesn't get talked about enough is Muskegon. Khalil Templeton,
which is crazy,
can do it all for them. Yeah, and he's very under-recruited, isn't he?
That's been something he committed to at ACC school. It's kind of saying a lot. I know last year's coming out party. I seen him at Muskegon. My first time seeing him, like, very electric. Gave them problems. You know, gave them problems. That was kind of like coming out party. He did a really good job. So, but I mean, you know, he got his money. He's going to Virginia Tech. So, you know, I'm pretty sure he's happy with that. But, you know, Virginia Tech doesn't recruit kids up here often, so that's kind of saying a lot. You know, for him to be, the only kid I've ever heard committed to Virginia Tech out of Michigan.
Well, last year in 2016, they got Josh Jackson from Saline.
Josh,
but
okay,
I'll be back-to-back
right, okay,
classes. Josh. Back-to-back classes with one of Michigan's top players that did not
get
the major in-state offers. But
got
a team in particular that
underrated? It's kind of hard to say 3 days in. Maybe a team to look out for?
Yeah, that counts, team to look out for.
That's kind of hard to say right now. I couldn't even give you a straight answer. I couldn't even do it right now. We'll see week two. Maybe I'll give you an answer next week.
Okay. And one other thing we can talk about before the show wraps up is the prep, the two showcase tournament games like Prep Kickoff Classic and Battle of the Big House. I know you didn't get down to Ann Arbor, but I was at both. And I got to say, after seeing both, I think the better environment was at the Prep Kickoff Classic. Detroit Sports Commission did a great job, first-class job of hosting.
As always.
And it looks like we got Khalil Templeton on the phone right now. Khalil, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling in. We were just talking about you and Jeff Corian of the D-Zone, the guy that is the man, the myth, and the legend, got you on the line. Talk about your game yesterday against Pioneer.
I mean, it was just, we just went out with the mindset of a big rail. We've always talked about a championship mindset, a championship heart. That's pretty much what we went out there with. We went out there before we leave our home stadium. We always talk about togetherness, and on the way there, I believe that's all that was on our mind was togetherness, and that's what we won the game with.
Hey, Khalil, this is Brandon Hunter. You think you guys can make a deep run in the state playoffs this year and get another state title for Muskegon?
We're just going to take it one game at a time. That's all there is to take it one game at a time. I believe we do have a good chance at it, but we just have to we're focused on week two right now.
Right. Okay.
Who are some games on your schedule besides this one you guys are looking out for, big games that really get you guys fired up to play?
Actually, week two is a real test. Chicago, Illinois, that'll be a pretty good team. I mean, yeah, Stevenson, Lincolnshire, that'll be a pretty good team to go against.
And what was the atmosphere like down there to get to play at Michigan Stadium in front of a big crowd? From what I hear, traveled down to see you guys.
Oh, it was a great experience. Right before the game, I was just during the national anthem, I always pray, and I was just thanking God for the opportunity because that's a great experience. I believe one of the staff members came down and spoke to me and said, this was the first high school game to ever be played under the lights at Michigan Stadium, so that was a great opportunity.
And much like Brandon was talking earlier about the rain delay at Wayne State, you guys were pushed way back because the first game started about 2 hours, 2.5 hours late. What were you guys doing in that time frame where you guys weren't getting ready for the game and you were waiting for the other games to finish?
Actually, our rest stop actually went a little longer than it was. So that time we were still focusing up on the game. And then when we got to the stadium, we got to watch our the opponents that we played the past 2 years, Detroit Catholic Central. We're pretty good friends with the assistant coach Justin Sasante. So we got to support him, and then right after that, we went right after that game. We watched a little bit of our friends EK, and then after that, we went down and got ready for our game.
And one thing I want to ask you about before we close the show is you play for Justin Sasante and Legacy Football. What is it like to play 7-on-7 off-season football, and how much of an advantage is it for you and other people that play that now when the season comes around?
I highly suggest anybody that wants to do that, I suggest that you play. It's a great opportunity. To be honest, I don't believe I would be where I'm at right now without it. It's a great opportunity, and he's put on such a great for the past, I believe, 7 years, 8 years, however long he's been doing it, he's done a great job with it.
All right. Thank you. That is Khalil Templeton, Muskegon football player, and more importantly, Virginia Tech commit. Khalil Templeton, thank you for your time.
All right, Brandon. It was a good show this week, and we'll be back at it 11:30 a.m. next Sunday morning on the D-Zone Radio.